I noticed the word gladness. Today we're going to be talking about happiness and the secret to happiness. And it's Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're only going to look at one verse. I'll read it a little later. If you do a search on the internet about what the secret to happiness is, there's a million websites that come up. And men, women give their opinion on what the secret to happiness is. Happiness is an emotion that I know I like to have every day. And we actually talked about happiness on Wednesday, and happiness as it's in the Bible. In 1938, Harvard researchers did a 10-year survey from almost 1,000 people to find out what keeps them happy. And they found the number one key to a happy life is having positive relationships with others. And with good relationships, we'll remain happier and healthier. It'll help us live longer. But this secret to happiness that the world promises is not going to last, is it? That's what the world promotes. And it's the Bible that tells us what the secret to true happiness is. True and lasting happiness. And this is found in our text this morning in the account of a man who was sick with palsy. He was paralyzed. Jesus was in a house preaching to people in Capernaum. And while he was there, this paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus to be healed, he was brought by four men carrying his bed. And the house was too crowded. They couldn't get into the house because of all the people. So they went up on the roof and they made a hole in the roof and lowered the man in the bed down to Jesus. Mark 2:4 says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." The sick man had great faith that Jesus would heal him, and so did the four men. That's why they let him down through a hole in the roof. And if you look at Matthew 9, verse 2, we read, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Notice, when Jesus saw the faith of these men, he said, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Jesus didn't say, "Be of good cheer, I'm going to cure you of your paralysis. I'm going to make you healthy again." Jesus hadn't even mentioned it yet. The man could have remained a paralytic, and he still had reason to be of good cheer. Why? Because his sins had been forgiven. David tells us that we are blessed when our sins are forgiven. He said this in Psalm 32:1. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And blessed means to be made happy. The secret to true happiness that the paralytic had found was that his sins had been forgiven. And this happiness has been made available to all of mankind, has it not? And this morning, there are 3 points I want to make about true happiness. And the first is, the pardon of sin brings us true happiness. Being forgiven of our sins should bring happiness to each one of us, because, first of all, it's a sure sign of God's divine favor toward us. We have been abundantly pardoned by God, as Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is good to all of mankind, is he not? God is merciful. He's compassionate to everyone, whether you're a believer or not. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9 tells us this. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. He's not good to some. He's good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Jesus says in Matthew 5:45 that God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, God allows men to acquire vast amounts of wealth. There are men who are so wealthy, it just blows me away. And they can spend their life in ease and pleasure all their days. But having one's sins forgiven is a clear sign of God's favor, not wealth. Being pardoned of sin is a special blessing to all whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Enjoying God's divine favor is a good reason to be happy. So what does God's pardon of sin mean to us? Well, it means that the crushing load of sin has been removed from each one of us. There are religions in the world today who keep people focused on their sins. They warn them, you got to do good works to win favor with God. And people struggle with the guilt of sin as they try to make themselves better, make themselves presentable so they can stand before God. But we've been freed from the shackles of our sin because God has forgiven all our iniquity and he's covered all our sin. Psalm 85:2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Our sin has been blotted out, as Isaiah says in 44:22. He said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Micah 7:19 says, God has cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And Jeremiah talks of the future time when God will pardon Israel for their iniquity. Jeremiah 5:50-20, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. That's what we're enjoying right now, are we not? God has covered my sin, and he's covered your sin by the blood of Christ. He's blotted our sin out like a thick cloud. Our iniquities have been cast into the depth of the sea, never to be seen again. And we're enjoying abundant grace poured out on us by our Heavenly Father. God's pardon of our sin is a good reason for us to be happy. And there's another important truth, which is God's pardon of sin changes our relationship with him, does it not? Before we turned to Christ by faith, we were condemned before God. Jesus said in John 3:18, that he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We were enemies of God before we turned to Christ by faith, and the sentence of death was upon our heads. You know, I can't imagine the anguish that goes through the thoughts of men, maybe even women, who are on death row in the U.S., And you hear of these cases where it'll be years before the person is actually executed. There'd be no happiness, there'd be no joy in that person's heart, because he's a condemned man and the sentence of death is upon his head. You see, the unsaved in the world, they're in that same position. They're condemned and the sentence of eternal death is upon their head. But we have been set free, have we not? We've been pardoned of our sin by Jesus taking our place on the cross. The sentence of death has been removed as you and I are free. We're absolutely free in Christ. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's John 8:36. We've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. We enjoy a new relationship with our Heavenly Father because He's adopted us as one of His own. And we're at peace with God, our Savior. We need not fear death because Jesus has won victory over death because He was resurrected. And not only have we been pardoned of sin, but no one can bring charges against us to God to change that situation, not even the devil. Romans 8:33 and 34 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Jesus makes intercession for you and me. We never have to worry. We're saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. There's no hell waiting for you. There's no wrath of God that you have to face. He has you firmly in His hand. He's never going to let you go. Our lives are hid with Christ and God. And Jesus, He saved us. He has saved us to the uttermost. That's to the highest degree. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Is that not an excellent reason to be happy? Shouldn't we rejoice every day that we belong to the household of God? Even if trial comes because of our faith, we can look forward to the day when Jesus is going to appear. And that should fill us with happiness and joy. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because God has pardoned our sin, there's another reason for true happiness, which is all that we had lost has been restored to us. When God created Adam and Eve, there was no death. There was no inclement weather, no rainstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, no snowstorms like we got this year. The world was a beautiful tropical place. And all the plants were watered and the trees were watered by mist coming up from the ground. Animals didn't kill each other. They were all vegetarians. And all lived on the bountiful food that God provided. Yeah, Hank, they were all vegetarians. And God created Adam and Eve to never ever die. But the paradise was lost when Adam sinned against God, and they were banished from the Garden of Eden, and they had to toil the land and fight the weeds to grow food, and the result was hardship, and death came upon all men and all of creation. And from that time until today, the whole world groans in pain because of the sin of mankind. That's Romans 8:22 tells us that, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All that had been lost when Adam sinned, that has now been restored to us. In fact, we will enjoy much more than Adam ever had. We have a closer relationship with God. We are adopted. You can call yourself a child of God. And our new bodies that await us are much better than Adam's ever was. He was flesh and blood, but we look forward to incorruptible spiritual bodies, eternal bodies. And our future home is in an eternal new Jerusalem on a new earth and a new heaven. And we will dwell there with our King and Lord Jesus Christ forever. And you know, on the day when, someday in the future, when we meet Jesus Christ in the air before he returns to earth, we'll be glad and we'll rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's Revelation 19:7. Let's be of good cheer, because our sins have been forgiven. Having considered all the benefits of our sins being pardoned, there's a second point that needs to be touched on, which is we should be happy. God has given us every reason to be happy. In the parable of the prodigal son, we're told about that desperate situation he got himself into. He took his inheritance and he went and spent it all on riotous living, as the Bible says. And then he found himself in absolute poverty. And he ended up working among the pigs, and he had to eat the husks of grain that the pigs were eating. But the young man then came to his senses, and he went to his father, and he went with a repentant heart in hopes of being forgiven. And upon seeing his son, the father ran to greet him and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And then his son, he gave his son a ring and a shoes and a robe to wear. And then the father said in Luke 15:23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And although the Bible doesn't say this, I'm sure the son was unbelievably happy. He had suddenly been taken out of a hopeless situation by his father and given the very best clothing and food in his father's house, and they were all merry. You and I should be happy because we were in the same state that this man was. We were lost in sin without any hope of improving our condition. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent Jesus Christ to earth to save us. As that hymn says, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. And when we repented and turned to Christ, we were clothed with his robe of righteousness, and we were covered with the garment of salvation. We're told that in Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You know, our heart should be light. Our heart should be merry because our sins have been covered. We should be happy. We are at peace with God through Jesus Christ. But you know, in reality, there are times when we do get depressed. I get depressed. I allow the worries and the cares of my life to crowd my thoughts. You know, 2 a.m, and it's 2:30 and you're still awake, 3, you're still awake. It happens, right? But if depression and worry dominates our thoughts, there is a cure. First of all, we got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Yes, thank you. We must remember, instead of looking at our own problems, think about what Jesus did. The agony he suffered for you and for me. Just think about it. Going to the cross and nailed to the cross, he was badly beaten, bloody and very wounded. But you know what he did? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before Jesus is the joy that we ought to have. He gave his life a ransom for you and for me. And when we focus on Christ, our hearts will be directed away from the thoughts that depress us or the thoughts that make us sad or trouble us. And we'll instead think of the joy and the happiness that Jesus has provided us. When we meditate more on what Christ did for us, to win our pardon from God, we'll live as a pardoned person should live. You know, think of somebody who's got a life sentence and they're in prison, a dank old prison, and for some reason his sentence is pardoned. Can you imagine how joyous that man would be? That's how we should be. You see, if we have that mindset, if we meditate on Christ and what he's done for us, we'll be happy. Whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're sick, whether we're healthy, we must not forget that this source of happiness will always stay with us. As when Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee," it wasn't just for that day or for a week or a couple of weeks. That paralytic man is in heaven right now, is he not? And that message should give us comfort and joy. As we grow old and the aches and pains increase, we should still be of good cheer because our sins have been forgiven. If we fall into financial hardship or if we suffer from sickness, our sins have still been forgiven. So we can still be happy. We've been pardoned. We're pardoned today. We're pardoned no matter where we are. We're pardoned tomorrow. We're pardoned forever. We should have comfort knowing that God's forgiveness is rich and it's full and it's everlasting. And you know, one day after you and I take our last breath, we're not going to face an angry God. We'll instead be welcomed into the household of God, where there'll be happiness and joy forevermore. We have the right to be happy. So let us ask God that our joy from Christ remain in us and that our joy may be full every day. Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." And there's one more thing we must briefly touch upon, is that there is no true happiness to the unforgiven. You know, in the news, there's a lot of terrible stuff going on. There's wars. There's a lot of hatred. People hating other people. There's anger. In the unsaved world, they're trapped in sin. And there's strife. There's no chance of getting out of this on their own. There is no peace. As Isaiah 57:21 says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Some of the unsaved are enjoying pleasures in this world. They're living in ease that the money provides. But their happiness will be short-lived. Because one day their life's going to be snuffed out, just like a candle. It says that in Job 21:17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. There's no hope for the lost until they fall down before God and repent and confess that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, that they need Jesus Christ. Remember the Philippian jailer? That's what he did. When Paul and Silas and the other prisoners were released by God out of prison, the jailer, he wanted to kill himself. And Paul said, no, don't kill yourself. And then we read in Acts 16:29-31, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. He's trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. He fell down probably on his knees and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all he had to do. And he found true happiness. He and his family, they all became believers and they were baptized. You know, as I close this morning, I believe the hour is late. I believe Jesus is coming soon. And you know, there are many lost souls around us who need Jesus Christ. And we must continue to spread the gospel of hope to unsaved souls whom we meet. Whether it's a family member or a friend you've known for a long time, we can't give up. Jesus said the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. We are the laborers. You are the laborers. We are as laborers called to give the gospel of peace to others. That's what it is, right? It's gospel of peace. When you believe, when you're saved, you have peace with God. Something that no one can attain on their own. But you see, if we're not happy, we're not going to be motivated to tell others about Christ. Jesus tells us to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How is your light going to shine if you're not happy? If you're not full of joy? You know, I'll go into a store and I'll be cranky. Maybe because of the snow or somebody cut me off. Something happened. How is my light going to shine before that unsaved person I'm talking to? You know, with glad hearts, we can better communicate the good news to the unsaved. We can give them the glad tidings of great joy to lead them to Christ. That's what the angel said to the shepherds. And so they too will be a good cheer, knowing that God has forgiven their sins. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to give the gospel to the lost. Thank you that the gospel is always here. No one can destroy it. It will always be proclaimed throughout the world. Lord, I pray that each one of us, our hearts will be full of joy. We will keep happiness in our heart, knowing what Jesus has done for us and knowing that you have pardoned us. You don't even see our sins anymore because we have the righteousness of Christ on our account. And I pray, Lord, that in the days to come, that many souls will be saved in the area that we live as we just give the message of hope to lost souls. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.